When Anna Nicole Smith and lawyer Howard K. Stern held something called a commitment ceremony aboard a boat in the Bahamas several months ago, I thought that it might be interesting to write about the way in which courts view such public declarations of love in the United States, and whether such a ceremony might have any legal consequences. Little did I imagine how interesting. In the wake of Smith's death, with questions now swirling about Stern's possible inheritance and paternity of her infant daughter, that ceremony takes on a whole new significance. In many ways, it sounded like a typical wedding. People magazine reported that the couple traded vows in a shipboard commitment ceremony, then later plunged into the ocean. Okay, that part wasn't typical. Guests dined on fried chicken and supped champagne and cider. The symbolic ceremony offered the couple solace, the magazine suggested, after the tragic death of Smith's son, and showed that the two planned to do something legal at some later point. But now that Anna Nicole Smith, too, is dead, I'll bet that Howard K. Stern wishes that they'd made their marriage-minded intentions as clear as the Caribbean waters. As it is, by leaving their intentions murky, their leap of faith into deep water was figurative as well as literal. Tens of millions of dollars and even fatherhood may be riding partly on the legal interpretation of their ambiguous, free-spirited ceremony. Whether a wedding has occurred depends, of course, on the facts. Usually the law requires a marriage license, a solemnizing authority approved by the state, and the intention to be married. If those elements are present, in most cases, you've got yourself a marriage. In this case, Stern may be missing all three. Even when a couple goes through a more traditional wedding ceremony and recites the customary vows before a proper celebrant, the law may balk at recognizing a valid marriage if the bride and groom are in doubt. As one court put it, when two people participate in a mock marriage ceremony as the result of jest, exuberance, hilarity, or dare, and harbor no intention to be bound thereby, there's usually no marriage in the eyes of the law. Courts figure that it would be bad public policy to force two people who never really intended to be bound to be husband and wife until a divorce or an annulment. The only reason to enforce such a marriage, one author wrote, is the doubtful purpose of making other jesting, exuberant, hilarious, daring people think twice before tampering lightly with a relationship of such fundamental importance. So as early as 1870, courts held that loving words spoken in front of others do not necessarily make a marriage. That case involved a couple who married as the result of a dare accepted during a joyride. Same sort of thing in 1924 in West Virginia, when two young people agreed to marry, filled with excitement and exuberance spawned by a party. Courts aren't always so generous. If the couple followed a standard script for a wedding and included all the trimmings, the newlyweds may indeed be newlywed. Unfortunately for Stern, the script that he and Smith followed in the Caribbean was more unconventional and included mutual commitment, but not any intention to be legally wed. Mere words, courts have written, will not make a marriage. And for Howard K. Stern, it appears, they won't make a fortune. I'm Amy Guida.